Volunteers serve because they have a passion for something. When you believe in something, you do something about it. So thank you. And I encourage you to be a sager, especially in this man's project. Teach a person, well, if you give a person a fish, you've given them a meal. If you teach them how to fish, you've given them life. Man's is about First Nation young people being given a life. And when you see young people become responsible adults who now give back to not only their own community, but to society in general, those are the miracle stories. In my family, we're from the hood, we're from the neighborhood, not the residential district. Wherever I have lived, my neighbors have never known how to deal with me. I am not normal because I grew up in a very difficult environment. I never can conform to a community's demands. I never learned how, because where I was born and raised, you merely survived. My house was being shot at for 18 months with people driving by and shooting into my house with my little children still playing. And from there, I went to work at the North American Division. Now they just shoot at me in finance committee. No. That's another kind of shooting that happens there. When I worked there, I went from an extremely violent reality to a quiet Adventist community. When you come from another world, it's not as cut and dry as it would seem. But what has made the difference in my life has been education. And there were people just like you who said, we need to make sure that young man goes to one of our schools. Let me be plain. White people believed in me. Am I being open? Because people named Minifee and McCarthy and other names like that said, we need to invest in this young man. He needs to attend an Adventist school. That made the difference. When Pacific Union College said, we need $3,000 by Monday, or we will have an unusual fellowship as we escort you off campus. And it was Dr. Augard and his friends who got together and somehow put together some money. And they said, you can pay us back later. 10 years later, they said, forget about it. People who invest don't just give you a fish. They give you a life. And then you seek to give back. And now I travel 6 continents on a continual basis, giving back because people invested in me. Follow? That's what the Man's Project is about. We invest in Albertans, First Nation young people. These are our kids. Already, 47% of the goal is on the march of commitments and in hand. Now, the last portion is left. We can do this. It's only money. I'm fascinated. You can go into the poorest of communities. And I mean, I'm speaking of my own. My people were Dr. Sun Kwan was talking about the project in Glendale, California. That's 8 miles away from where I was born and raised. And you may be dirt poor, but you have a $3,000 television on the wall. You may not have money to eat. I mean, you can go to some of these countries in the third world and you see shacks for miles, but satellite dishes on a bunch of the roofs. Where did they get the money? It's only money. And when I die, my money will not go with me. So I've always thought, my wife and I have always felt, we will give sacrificially. We don't have much. There are those who, money is a gift. It's a talent. Not everybody sings, although some of us try. Not everybody has money, although many try. It's how talents go, and whatever talent, I mean, I have friends who, whatever they touch, it turns into money. How did you do that? I touched it. You give them a dollar, and within a week, they have $100. How did they do it? It's a gift. It's a talent. And like any other talented person, you dedicate your talents to the Lord, and you give with sacrifice. So for some person, to give that $20 a month is a dramatic sacrifice in their little budget. My parents, my mother receives $240 a month, and my father receives $680 a month. And they live on the POMO reserve. My parents continue to be very poor. I am still the child of peasants. I'm proud of it. It would have been nice to be the child of means, but I understand in heaven we will walk on the money. I mean, the pavement is money. It's pure gold. It's so pure. It's transparent. So just how much pavement do we need in life to be happy? My parents taught me, son, you may only have $8 left. Give six of them to the Lord. When you're poor, when my mother gives that $20 check to 3ABN, she is sacrificing. She is reorganizing her groceries. Isn't that wonderful? Is she complaining? No. But when we give with sacrifice. And she says, this church saved my children, the ones who chose to go to school. The one who did not, we await the Lord's return, that he will rise again. I'm telling you, there is power when we capture a vision of this finished work. And here we have an ability to do something for our First Nation kids right here in Alberta. Do it. Don't do it for anyone else, but for the cause of Christ. And those young people will one day do something for your family. You'll see how it works. It's hard to explain. I have thanked people. I make it a point. I wrote a book about my mentors. We are all the results of the investments of others. And my book was entitled, My Mentors, The Experiences of a Lifetime. And the Review and Herald said, no, that title will never sell. It's Jose. God found me in Los Angeles. And they put me against a wall and took a picture of me. And sure enough, it sold well. And but I named the mentor and what I learned from them. The mentor, what I learned from them. The mentor, what I learned from them. So I had people coming up to me at camp meetings, hugging me. Thank you. What? Page 67, you mentioned me. I mentioned names, places. Hundreds of people were named. All the ones I can remember who invested in my life. Nobody's an island. We are all the results of the investments of others, aren't we? And so I appeal to you yet again. It's only money. It's not about money. It's about this work that God has entrusted to us. Number two, Dr. Sung Kwon and his wife, Mi, who's been presenting here this week, they are my immediate next door neighbors. We hardly ever see each other back home in Maryland. We had to come out to Alberta to greet each other. Anyway, that's a great man. You're fortunate to have Dr. Kwon and his wife here. And you'll always learn a lot from the wealth of leadership experience in community that this man has. Brothers and sisters, I've been giving away my secrets of leadership. The book, The Secrets of Rojas, the Rojas Secrets of Leadership, will never be published. Why? Because I've been giving them away. So nobody will collect them. Are you ready for more secrets? Okay. Ellen White said, if a pastor spoke so that a child can understand, he will reach most of the people. There are some people who just don't want to be reached, but they'll sit there anyway. God bless you. But most people can be reached if a pastor speaks to a child. So who do you think I speak to? A child. Some of you have thought about it. Isn't that quite childish that he would present that way? Yes. And all the kids in the front row, he's Freddy, I like him. You reach a child, you reach most of the people. There's a secret. So if you want to be understood at church, speak to a child. When I give evangelistic crusades, it's always after a given point in the program, all right, children, we have your program. You know, and they lead the children away. And I have three rows of kids. I don't want to go. I want to stay here. And we create an unnecessary crisis. Sometimes I'm making appeals in a stadium, and 500 children come up running first and see who gets there first. A big race would break out. I've never seen this before. Children lead the way. Jesus said, if we had the faith like a child, right? Some people lose sight of being childlike because they are childish. The idea is childlikeness. So that's secret number one. I speak to who? A child. That's why you can go out and tell your kid what I preached about. It's really simple, sweetheart. But here's something that's interesting. You rewind the CD, the DVD, and watch it again. You'll learn something each time. Because a lot of suffering goes into preparing one topic. It's extremely deep, yet it's presented so simply that a child is the target. Follow? So if you rewind the DVD, you'll get something that you didn't get last time. That's the point of a message in today's secular world. There are four people you must reach in the audience. Four. Four learning styles, and all of us represent all four of them, but we all have a strength in usually one of these areas. Number one is the visual person. Visual people actually need to see the message. So what do I do? Do I stand in one place? No. Do I use a pulpit? No. Is it wrong to use a pulpit? It's fine to use a pulpit. But if I use one, you'll literally feel that the dog has been tied and he can't move around the yard. I'm restless as a preacher, and I go right up to the edge that the lights will allow me. If there were more lights, I'd be running all the way over there. Sometimes I jump off and walk down the aisle. He's not behind the pulpit. Well, there isn't one. Why? Because visual people want to see the message. They need to. In fact, when they were blessed, they say, oh, I see. They actually tell you, I saw it. I was there. And visual people need to see the message. So my entire body has to participate in the proclamation. So everything, the sincerity, there's no place to hide. You can see me. There's another person we want to reach, and that's the kinesthetic person. This is the emotional person. This is a person who likes to feel things. This is the Pentecostal believer. This is the person who wants to. I can feel the Holy Spirit there. I felt, I laughed, I cried, I'm a mess, but praise the Lord. See, kinesthetic people are very emotionally driven. And we all have visual, we all have kinesthetic, but some are stronger in one or the other. Then there's the third person, the auditory. These are the people who don't care for emotion or for anything else. Stop moving. Grab a pulpit, speak clearly. All they care about is what they hear. They're listening. Fascinating. Good, good, good. Possible. That is a proper use of that passage of Ellen White. Often they don't come to learn much. They came to supervise and make sure that the message is proper. But not always. They're always open to learning, but they must be met at a certain level of excellence. And when they were blessed, they come to me after the program. I was intrigued with your transition to the conclusion. Fascinating. Thank you. Does that mean you liked it? Yes, thank you. They care about the Greek and the Hebrew. So if I talk about Lech Acharai, Baruch Hashem Adonai, oh, that was fascinating. May I have that, please? I want to look this up. I want this to be part of my study this week. See, auditory people only need information. So they have no use for a lot of the music unless it's their favorite, what they consider proper music. And auditories worldwide have a different line on what the music the Lord likes. This is what the Lord approves of. Then I go to another country. No, this is what the Lord approves of. I go to that other nation. This is what the Lord must be very confused, because in many parts of the world, he seems to like different music. I'm being sincere. This is neurophysiology. And auditories need to be fed as well. So the message must be rich in content. You cannot insult your audience by just skimming over and having fun in a message. Auditories must be able to say, there was truth. Thank you. But auditories must also recognize you cannot demand that an emotional person stop being emotional. You cannot demand that a visual person stop being visual. And you visuals and emotionals, quit putting down the auditories. You're so boring. Well, I take exception to that comment. You see, we need all three together, don't we? Then there's the fourth person. This one's not in the literature, but I discovered it in my own research. Out of 36, 37, 38, well, 39 years of preaching and 34 years as a pastor. The musicals. There are people who don't get anything until I pull out my guitar. That's the only reason I bring it along. You know how much easier life would be if I didn't have to haul around a 25-pound instrument, have it get broken and file complaints with Delta Airlines and have mediation boards and then have no money for this expensive instrument at the end of the tunnel. I was in Ontario camp meeting. I don't know how many years ago, 15 years ago or so. And they had a tent similar to this. What is it about T-shaped buildings for camp meeting in Canada? Anyway, it was a gigantic tent. I felt like an elephant in the circus. It was huge. This was a massive tent. And they had speakers in towers and a sound system team that were into the quarter-second intervals between the speakers to accommodate for the echo. You know what I'm talking about? Technical people, yes, and the rest, no. I don't have a clue what you just said. I pull out my guitar, and I'm making the appeal at the end of the sermon, and while I'm playing, a gentleman in the back is standing at the tower of speakers, and he's looking at the speakers, and he's looking at me. Kind of like that. And after the program, he came to say to me, I need to know what your technique is. Well, it's pretty straightforward. I plugged my guitar in and played it. I heard three guitars. I just want your secret. I'm a professional guitarist. I want to be able to play tracks of guitars while I'm playing as well with my crew. I said, I promise you, I only have one guitar. You're lying, man. Reverends aren't supposed to lie. Listen, you know, in Toronto, we handle this in another way. Hey, LA, we handle it another way. You've met your match, Toronto. And he was taller than me. Do you think we're afraid? No. No, I'm a pastor. I only thought it. I didn't do that. Guess what happened the next night? He shows up with three of his friends. Did they listen to my sermon? No. But where were they at the end when I pull out my guitar? At the tower of speakers in the back. And they're all like this. Kind of like, see what I mean? So the four of them came to see me after the program. All right, we're the band. Three of us are guitarists. We're professionals. We just want to know your secret. How do you do that CD with two tracks? We hear three guitars distinctly. I said, dude, don't talk to me that way. I'm only playing one guitar. I've said enough. You're lying, man. Reverends ain't supposed to lie. I am telling the truth in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. In fact, if you want, you play it. I asked the sound guy to turn the system back on. And the people didn't mind. They all stopped leaving, and they all came to watch the spectacle. We plugged in, and one of the guys made my guitar cry. The way he was stretching strings, he made it say things it has never said before. My guitar was being strangled and this guy's hair was moving like this. And I said, "That's awesome. Just don't break it, man. You know, my guitar is dedicated only for soul winning. Only. It doesn't do special music. It's used only for my appeals. That I would dare do this. What was my intent? To win souls." So he did something, I don't know what, with rock, with my guitar, and it protested. Yeah, wow. You can hear the cries. And I said, "Now let me try it." And I began to play, and they could hear three guitars again. All four of them were baptized. They said, "Dude, this is serious, man." I go, "That's right, man. You don't mess with Jesus. Jesus does what is necessary. Only a musical understands that. An auditory, well, I have concerns with that premise. An emotional, oh, it's an incredible story. I can't put it down. And the visual, I see it. Wow." Everyone has a different learning style. The task of a speaker is to reach as many people as possible. So inevitably, if I preach a sermon that is laden with heavy, heavy, heavy use of Hebrew and Greek, the auditories walk out of the auditorium saying, "Oh, thank the Lord, finally a message for the rest of us." And the emotional say, "I didn't feel a thing. I just, I'm confused." You know how rough it is to travel the world and try to feed as many people as possible. Follow what I'm saying. And then I receive the criticism from the different perspectives of learning. That's how God keeps us humble. I have now given you another set of secrets. I'm doing it on purpose. You know why? Because I want you to go out there and do the same thing. Now, if you're overly emotional, you're just going to be very emotional when you present. You're going to cry every time you present a message. If you're auditory, how are you going to be presenting? All right, for our 35th Bible verse, let's look it up. Is that wrong? No, that's auditory people. I want to give you as much information as I can. I only have 15 minutes. For the 50th passage, let's quickly go. They want you to absorb as much information as you can. So when you have an auditory, thank God. "Lord, I'm going to take notes on this. This person studied 1,000 years before presenting this to us. They come prepared." And when you have an emotional person, how should you treat them? "Well, I think she's far too emotional." Don't dismiss them. That's where they are in the journey. Follow? Okay, I've said enough. All righty. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 8. John chapter 3 and verse 8. San Juan capítulo 3, comenzando con el versículo 8. Gracias. Have you learned Spanish yet? You better hurry, the Lord's coming. You better hurry. You want to be able to talk about things when you get up there. You know, as you're looking it up, when Moses observed this burning bush, he walked up to it and he couldn't believe it was not consuming. And suddenly he heard a powerful voice coming out saying, "Buenos días." That's right. I'm glad it's been translated for other cultures to be blessed. Okay, did I stall long enough to give you time to find it? Okay, so at that moment, who responded? The emotionals. Visuals a little bit. Auditories, or I'm testing your faith right now. I think that was completely unnecessary. It probably was for you. But you must be disciplined with each other as the message crisscrosses to the different people. Follow what I'm saying. All of a sudden, something deep will come out, and a visual person will say, "I don't get it. I can't see what he's saying." But an auditory will be back there, "Amen. Finally." You see, so be patient with each other as the Holy Spirit is feeding different people at different moments of the message. I'm giving secrets away. This is called narrative inductive preaching. And I don't want to keep these secrets. I don't want to take this to my grave. You must take this stuff. This has been tested for almost 40 years. And it's not by method, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by His Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you have enough clues as to what humanity is like, Ellen White says, Jesus understood human nature. He never took advantage of human nature, but He appealed to human nature. That's what we're doing. We're appealing to humans in the name of Christ. Have I shoved you good today? Amen. Because the conference has prayerfully set the theme as go. And we have seen that you can't go without light. That light out there, if you're in it too long without sunscreen, it will burn you. It'll create melanomas, but it could also create vitamin D as it is absorbed through cholesterol in your skin, goes through your liver, through your kidneys, and is produced in your pancreas. Now you have a body can function because you're out in the sun. Last night we talked about water. Wasn't it proper that we have a torrential downpour as the sermon, and amen. And as I get over there, we were washed away together. I saw somebody on a boat, amen. When the Lord sends the latter rain, Ellen White says, it'll be far surpassing the day of Pentecost. And we thought the day of Pentecost was a big deal. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? Are these not Galileans? I mean, Galileans even spoke with an accent. You know, kind of like, you know, you could tell like who's from Galilee. They're like different. They're the uneducated. They're the ones that RCMP keeps an eye on. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so are these not Galileans? Yet each of us hears them speak in our language. I was preaching at the Adventist Church in San Francisco. In San Francisco, there are no yards. The building goes right up to the sidewalk. You open the doors, and it's the foyer and the sanctuary. So that's the front door, and here's the sanctuary beginning. And that's the sidewalk. So when you open your church doors, people are literally walking by the open doors of your sanctuary. Not the 14 miles this way and the 11 miles that way and back P over the ridge over the, no, you're in Alberta. You have to be out there because you needed the land to do it. But in the city of San Francisco, over a million people on this tiny peninsula, everything goes straight up, just like Manhattan. I was preaching there and kind of got wound up at the pulpit. And a gentleman went past the open door like this. And he came back, and he was fascinated. You know, dogs are not the only ones who tip their head. There are, I do. You'll catch me doing this. What are you doing? Leave your puppy alone. He's fascinated. You know, just like the dog does it. Anyway, they're hearing harmonics that you can't perceive, but that's, I tilt just out of curiosity. This gentleman did this, and he came in. He sat down. And after the message, he came to speak to me, and I didn't know a word he was saying. True story. A woman nearby understood what he was saying. That's the Russian part of the city. He was speaking Russian. He says, I walked by, and I couldn't believe it. Finally, perfect Russian, like Mother Russia. And I walked in. Where did you learn to speak Russian? And after the interpreter, where did you learn to speak Russian? I don't speak Russian. Is this not a Mexican? But how is it that I hear him in? You see, these gifts have been around a long time. Can you see why Jesus says, see that thou tellest no one? Because we keep thinking these gifts were from some other era and will never happen again. But the latter rain will far surpass this. These are routine things for those of us who are out there full time. This is how it works, folks. When the Holy Ghost moves before you, you cannot argue with the hand of the Lord when it moves before you. I know I'm just a broken human being. I have defects of character. I'm clear on this matter. But if the Lord can use a broken man, imagine how he can use you. Imagine how he can use you. You're more sensible than I am, aren't you? Yes, yes, amen. You're more beautiful than I am. You're taller than I am. Your hair is more gorgeous than my, anyway, your eyes are incredible. go. Because what the Holy Ghost is going to do is going to be far greater than anything that happened on Pentecost. That you could hear a native Jew, because Rojas is Jewish. What a combination, huh? A native Jew. What a combination. You add Holy Ghost to that? We're going to war. We're unafraid to die. I've been shot at several times in my life. And thank the Lord, I've learned to run swiftly. You never just stand there and give the guy opportunity to get it right. You have a wife and kids, you learn to run. And because they're holding the gun sideways, being cool, and they're doing this, they can't shoot straight. And we're not going to teach them how to properly cradle the weapon and specify their aim. You get out of there. But I'm proud to say that each time the Lord has spared me, and it's strange when you feel a bullet go by, you feel the heat, and you could feel the heat go by, realizing it just go a few inches this way, and it would be the end of a perfect day. When you see the pings around you, I discovered one thing. I was not afraid. I was only fleeing because I can't make my wife a widow and my kids orphans on some foolishness of my own. If I'm going to die for the Lord, I will die on His schedule and for His glory. Follow? And so that's why I learned something. I'm not afraid to die. Two times I'm on a jumbo aircraft. On one time, the plane fell about 1,000 feet, just a free fall. It was exciting. The cart went to the ceiling with the girl. You know, I'm looking up, and the girl's back is against the ceiling. And my only concern was this gigantic, heavy cart falling back down on someone. Fortunately, it fell back onto the same aisle. And everybody's food went everywhere. So we all had gravy and, you know, the food was good. Everybody had stuff all over them. And it dawned on me, I was not afraid. I was just upset that, look at this mess. Who do I see about this? And everybody tended to the girl, and we all buckled down. Another time was I was landing in Ontario Airport outside of Loma Linda, and the Santa Ana winds were blowing at almost 100 miles per hour. It was a 777 jumbo jet coming in. I look down at the freeway below, and I see four diesel trucks on their sides. They had been blown over. And the jet was coming in, and suddenly we were sideways. And I'm looking out my window at the pavement only 500 feet below. The captain, of course, corrected and went the other way. And now we're looking that way. And we just did this and that as the captain gunned the engine and climbed back up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We have Santa Ana winds down there crossing the runway suddenly. We've been redirected, and we'll be receiving instructions. We went back up high and started circling the city of Los Angeles, and finally, after about an hour, we landed into LAX. Are you afraid to die? Don't be afraid of anything. If we work for Jesus, He will make this heart beat as long as it needs to. Your president is a great man. You know that, right? Alberta Conference has a leadership of gifted, visionary risk takers who understand the secular world that inhabits the cities of Calgary and Edmonton and are willing to say about evangelism, we need to reach them. They're our own children. They're our own loved ones. We will reach them with this gospel. Who has a school on a great Cree Nation right here and says, we're going to do something about it. And we're going to build ample a location for these students to receive what they need to change their world and finish this work. You see, when his heart was attacked, your president recovered for a few months. We know that his heart belongs to Jesus. You see what happens when someone is unafraid to die? Holy Ghost can do things that you've never done before. Now let's get to this passage in the few minutes we have left. Jesus talking to Nicodemus, a great man from the Sanhedrin in John chapter 3, verse 8. He tells him, the wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it came from or where it's going. So is it with all those who are born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus said this as he was telling him, you must be born again. How can I go back into my mother's body? Let me tell you. The Spirit blows where it wants to. You don't know where it came from or where it's going, but so is it with all who are born of the Spirit. Are you aware that baptism is not merely joining a church? Baptism is not merely saying, I'm excited today and I'll change my mind tomorrow. No, baptism is when you literally die to this world and are born again in Jesus. And that you receive the Holy Spirit, born of water and born of the Spirit. Yet we live in a world that is now questioning the existence of the Holy Spirit. I was in Central America and was confronted by a bunch of people. Pastor, we no longer believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. What do you think? I said, that's blasphemy. Repent of your sin. Well, that's what they're telling us around here. I was about to preach in L.A. I was going into a major event of our church. And somebody walked up to me, Elder, before you go up, I need to ask a question. Are you going to teach about our Lord Jesus Christ? Or about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? I said, both. They're both in Scripture. And she left in protest. We now have people that are beginning to doubt the very Holy Spirit that we have been promised in a latter rain. Doesn't that make you tingle a little bit, even as an auditory? That these simple, great truths from Scripture can now be questioned at their foundation. This is what's called secularism. Secularism has two basic expressions right now. Well, it's actually three. You can call it two and a half in a sociological perspective. Number one is the atheist. The atheist says there is no God. End of story. And many wonderful atheists live right here in Calgary and Edmonton and surrounding communities. And throughout the world, atheism is growing. They are now holding meetings led by former Christians to prove that God does not exist. And we're having trouble supporting meetings when the other side is now happily holding meetings. Brothers and sisters, we're in the last days. Isn't this exciting? But see, we like to get scared when we think of the last days. Oh, no, the last day. No, your redemption draweth nigh. Rejoice! Look at the eastern sky. He's coming, and every eye is going to see him. Not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Shouldn't we be at that mode now? Brothers and sisters, another part of secularism is agnostics. Agnosticism is an argument that says you cannot prove or disprove God. We know there's something, we just can't explain what it is. And most agnostics grew up in a church, whatever denomination. Star Wars is the best example of agnosticism. It's the good side and the bad side of the force. It's just a force. We don't know what it is. Foolish young Skywalker. A lot of people like those movies. But George Lucas's mentor was a leading agnostic. George Lucas grew up a Methodist. And I say this with great respect. And the idea is that many of our society are now unsure of a divinity. If you really want to know, get onto a university campus and ask a student walking by, do you believe in God? You're not going to talk about religion, are you? Or organized religion. I know there's something out there, I just don't know what it is. See, that's agnosticism. Now, you want to hold meetings or you want to do outreach for them, the best evangelism is one-on-one, your friends. How are you going to do that? Through technique? Through method? No. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit is for these moments in history. when it has become impossible to just rely on our methods to win a soul. I was in Peru, and we had just experienced over 9,000 baptisms. Pastors had slipped their arms. After 200 or 300 baptisms, I mean, pastors are not known for working out, at least most of us. I mean, round is a shape. You can be in shape, but there are pastors, to their credit, who jog and work out, the young guys. Once folks start getting my age, we start forgetting about the value of jogging 3,000 miles a week. And after you've been baptizing for a while, and you're out of shape, this muscle slips. It is a very painful injury. Hundreds of pathfinders entered the water in full dress uniform. We better help our pastors. You started seeing guys out there like this, and the lines of candidates were still there. And I had two little girls. Pastor, we're going to help you. You've slowed down. And they had their full dress uniform with sash, with patches. Get your pathfinders in the water and help with the next baptism. We want to see your pathfinder's life transformed. Take them into the water. Don't have them stand during the baptism like, no. Go in and help, Elder Jones. And you had little Jennifer and Bobby on that side, and the pastor brings the candidate down, and the pathfinders help pick them up. For a young person to see the hand of the Lord that close, right there. To look into the eyes of a candidate when they come out of the water. That's the movement of the Holy Ghost. Experiential Christianity. Pathfinder. Who's a Pathfinder director in here? Okay. You go talk to your Pathfinder directors. They're over at the youth tent. All right. I used to direct Pathfinders. I used to wear my 5 stars on my shoulder. Get those kids in the water. Get those young people that you have trouble with. You know, I'm not sure what we're going to do with this young man. We should let him help with the next baptism. Help. Let him help the pastor. Bring the candidate up. Watch what the Holy Spirit does to this young life. You know, I wasn't sure about religion, but I saw the Lord up close as he blessed this life in baptism. You follow what I'm saying? That's the Holy Spirit. Some people say, oh, that's creative. No. The Holy Spirit leads you to do what's necessary to not only save our young people, but to give them a vision of what God has called them to do. Man, I've been in the water for 9 baptisms, man. I want to bring my own now. It's powerful. In my districts, whoever helped give the Bible studies to that candidate helped me baptize the candidate. So there was one sister, she could hardly walk with her 2 canes, and she brought in 11 people that year. You know, Pastor, I have been busy, and can you help me? No, I would need lots of help to get in, and I don't know what I'd do in there, but this gives me a chance to send members of my family in to help you. Her nephew, her son, her niece, and they all got baptized. Well, Grandma sent me in to help. See, the power of experiencing the Holy Spirit and not just hearing about him all the time. Does this make sense to you? Now, we have a few minutes. I am being technical today. We appreciate your patience. Jesus said in another passage in John chapter 20, he had just resurrected that Sunday morning. His disciples were afraid, and they were hiding in the upper room. That same day, verse 19 and onward, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Remember next time that there's a lot of fear and anger and fighting at your church? Someone get up and say, "Peace be up to you." That's where he walked in. These guys were screaming, they're going to get us, they're going to arrest us. If they kill Jesus, what are they going to do to the hired help? Peace be unto you. He showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Isn't that powerful? How Jesus can manage conflict so differently than we do. And he says, as my Father has sent me, so now I send you. Go. And when he had said this, he breathed on them the Holy Ghost. You remember that story? Didn't it give you a little chill somewhere? Who am I appealing to? Kinesthetics. Yes. Auditories. I didn't feel a thing. But this is fascinating. Visuals. I never saw it before. Jesus, peace be unto you. Look at my hands. Look at my side. Master, so send I you. Receive the Holy Ghost. Now, doesn't that feel good? You want to know the sad part of this story? They didn't do a thing. Thank you. Now what are we supposed to do? I don't know. They're going to come and arrest us still. Sometimes we can be so hard-headed that when Jesus himself shows up, we still don't see him. Brothers and sisters, they didn't do anything with that. He breathed on them the Holy Ghost, and they didn't do a thing. That so it is with those who are born of the Spirit. The wind comes. We don't know where it came from. We don't know where it's going. But we hear it. And we see its influence in others. That gigantic tree, the tallest tree on planet Earth, the Mendocino redwood tree, is 15 miles from my mom and dad's house. Giant redwoods. Every year we go see them. It reaches up into the heavens. You know that's the one that Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel chapter 4. Because it disappears into the clouds. But the slightest breeze will take this giant monarch and you see it waving up at the top. You don't know where the wind came from. You can hear it and you can see its influence. Like out on the prairie on a windy night, Saskatchewan. There's nothing out here, Elder, except a windstorm. There is majesty in the prairie. I love the flatlands. Good fossils, too. Now, I don't know why you drive four-wheel drives out there. There's nothing to climb. The dog runs away from home, and 3 days later, look, he's still running away from home. But it's majestic. In the Southwest, where I'm from, we have deserts that you can see for 100 kilometers on. Just clearly, simply see into the distance where the horizon disappears. There's something majestic about that. Others of you are BC, Western Alberta type. I need a mountain. But Saskatchewan people, Lord bless you. Just those prayers. I love to stand out there, park a car, and just, no one knows I'm here. And no one cares. Except the prairie dogs chirping away. I don't know what it is, but it's got a mustache. And then the wind happens. The wind happens. And you feel it. You hear it. And you see its influence. You go into the house and they need to fix their insulation. And it starts howling. I told you to fix the insulation on that window. I'll get to it tomorrow. And you just hear this howling. So it is with the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. Now, here's a sad statement. Ellen White says that when the Holy Ghost is poured out in a latter rain, many believers, that's among us, will not see it nor discern it, although it is falling on souls all around them. And they will evaluate it and judge it to be fanaticism. It is possible to know truth and not walk in truth. so that when the truth of a latter rain actually occurs, you do not see it nor discern it. I don't want to be one of those people. Do you? Isn't it our time then, brothers and sisters? There is no age limit. Moses was recruited by God. He received his call to ministry at age 80. So, hello. Sister Sarah was told she was going to be the mother of a great nation at age 96. Sometimes the Lord says stuff that just don't make sense, do it? There are times when God calls a kid like Jeremiah. I've set you before the nations. You shall place kings and remove kings. I'm just a youth. I'm 17. They won't even make me junior deacon at the church. Don't tell me, God says, don't tell me I'm just a youth. For where I send you, you will be able to go. What I say to you, you will be able to say. Serving the Lord is not about age. It's not about technique. It's not about method. It's about being filled with the Holy Ghost. We need light so we can see the path and see our feet. We need water so we can be hydrated with the power of Jesus Christ. And now we must breathe what the Holy Ghost has for us. Don't hold your breath. Breathe deep. Next time you go to Saskatchewan, instead of complaining, get out there and say, everybody take a deep breath. Dad, this is weird. Yeah, do it again. Because of Jeff, we're going to do 10 more. No. Don't hyperventilate while you're out there. But breathe some fresh air out on the plains. Breathe when you get to church the freshness of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid anymore to do impossible things, because God doesn't call qualified people. He qualifies the people he calls. So I conclude with this. Is this my third conclusion? My record was 8 conclusions. I counted them, Elder. 8 times you said in conclusion. But this is for real. That baptism in Peru, the 9,000 plus, after several hours, we had injured pastors walking out of the water like this, assisted by Pathfinder kids. And I saw an elderly man in his 80s crinkling his straw hat. We're at 12,000 feet elevation. And this man is crying uncontrollably. And I walked up to him. I said, what's the matter? And he broke down even worse. Anytime I asked him, are you okay? It got worse. So I had to quit asking, are you okay? So finally I said, I know sooner or later you're going to tell me what's happening. And he says, I failed. And he crinkled his little hat further. And I'm a hat man. Anyway, he was crinkling his little hat. And he just cried, I failed. How did you fail? I only brought 114 people for baptism. You what? I didn't care if he was crying anymore. What? I only brought 114 people for baptism. I failed. I'm having a hard time understanding how this qualifies as failure. My goal was 500. You know, sometimes you have to go somewhere else to find truth, because we get set in our ways back home. This is the limits of how far God will go. You go to other countries and God's way over here because they didn't know about our limits. They don't have limits in other places. We are the ones who limit the Lord. You are limited only by the mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. I said, well, I'm an Adventist pastor. I need to know what method and what materials you used, because we're going to copy that stuff and finish God's work by next week. And he says, I can't read or write. I'm an Inca of the Quechua band. I've never been to school in my life. Okay, you don't read or write. That crosses out literature and Bible study guides. Because we rely on that stuff, right? If you just use those guides, You can do it. It's not about what guides you use. It's not about what method you utilize. This gentleman was teaching me something that I needed to learn. And he finally says, I just go out every day and catch the people before they start going up the mountain. We're at 12,000 feet. We're at 4,000 meters almost. I'm needing oxygen every 40 minutes because I get really sick. Anyway, I get out there before the people go up the mountain with their animals. I would love to see this. Can I go with you? Of course, Pastor. What time do you go? At 3 in the morning. I will pray for you. Because that's what time I go to bed. You know, I'm so jet lagged, I never know what time it is. I can't get up at 3. That's what, I just got to bed. I'll be praying. Anyway, at 3 in the morning, he's out there. And he's talking to these people. And he says, I tell them what great things God has done for me. He merely testifies. Do you testify? We don't. Most of us don't testify. Tell somebody what God has done for you. Well, it feels embarrassing. So what? Be embarrassed for a good cause. Tell somebody what God has done for you. You know, my daughter was so sick. We prayed. She's up and around. I just praise the Lord for that. Are you religious? No, but I love the Lord. And I go to church, and I want you to come with me. I was at a grocery store in Maryland, and a girl, you know, at the cashier, and there was a long line, and she says, are you saved? Have you ever been asked that question by a devout person? And what do we usually do? Well, I hope to be found worthy. None of us will be found worthy. Only Christ is worthy. Ellen White says, we'll be clothed by his righteousness, and we gain victory over sin one day at a time. I answered, and everybody in line wanted to see who was being asked. And it was me. Good. She asked the right guy. I just said to her, yeah, I'm saved. What about you? Yeah, me too. I've been saved for 9.5 months, and I attend the da-da-da-da-da fellowship over here. Oh, that's awesome. I attend the Adventist fellowship over here. Why don't you come and visit us? All right. I baptized her 2 months later. You don't go off and ask me if I'm saved and get away with it. You see, brothers and sisters, we can testify. Even at a grocery store, we could be sharing who God is because we have seen him. Have you breathed? Have you received that breath? Because when he breathed on them the Holy Ghost, Corinthians, the letter to Corinthians, Paul tells us that over 500 went to Galilee to hear him speak. And he told them, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Be united. Forgive each other of your sins. And ask for the Holy Ghost. Of those 500 plus that heard him say that in Galilee, only 120 showed up on the day of Pentecost. Less than half of the people who heard a glorified, risen Jesus with scars of nails on his hands, his feet, and the puncture on his side, less than half showed up to the upper room to do what he asked them to do. Brothers and sisters, the latter rain is about to come upon us. I believe it's begun to wisp here and there around the planet, not because I read an article, but because I've seen it with my own eyes. And I can testify to you as a broken man with defects in my own character that I'm clearly and embarrassingly aware of. God can use anyone. Do you want to be in the hands of God? Let him breathe his Holy Spirit upon you. We need air. We're running this race. Any runners here? People who run? Yes. Is there a difference between sprinting and distance running? Sprinters what? I'm there. I already get there so quickly. I'll breathe when I get there. They may take 3 or 4 breaths. That's it. But if you're going to be running 1,000 meters, how do you breathe? Much more measured. If you don't measure your breaths, how are you going to do when you run? You can't oxygenate appropriately. You will collapse. Your muscles will begin to give out. Breathing is key to running. There are many other factors. Brothers and sisters, this race is about to end. Are you breathing well? Because that's the Holy Spirit. Do you want that in your life? Do you want that in your life? I want to appeal to your heart. This camp meeting cannot merely be an event that you attended and relaxed or took your vacation and got good prices at. You're receiving cutting-edge seminars. I'm pleased to see the seminars overflowing with people. Brothers and sisters, I am convinced that the Lord has brought you to camp meeting for such a time as this. Are you going to bring people tonight? Because my special topics I'm reserving for each night so your kids can come out from the city and your friends. I know it's a long drive. So what? If this was a playoff game, you know they'd come. We do what we really want to do. Give them the priority. And those who are able to come, the Lord will bring them. Something's happening in Alberta Conference, and it must lead to the finishing of God's work. Don't you agree? I'm tired of living on this planet. I want to go home. I'm too young to be this tired. So as I sing this song, if you want this Holy Spirit in your life, in a way that you perhaps need to grow further in grace, come forward as we conclude this message and pray together as I sing this song. Now, this is the edition of I Surrender All that was composed in 1981. It was the first of my six versions of this song. If the Lord is calling upon you to receive the wind of the Spirit, come forth as we sing this song in conclusion. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Oh, the joyful salvation, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Salvador, a Ti rindo, obedezco solo a Ti, mi guiador, mi fortaleza, todo encuentro Cristo en Ti. A Tu causa me consagro, y Tu amor mi amor será. Oye Cristo, mi plegaria, quiero en Ti tener perdón. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. is, I'll stand. This is serious. In its simplicity, it is profound. The Holy Spirit. We've always waited for some future thing. Or we have a chart that, well, this hasn't happened, this hasn't happened yet, this has not happened, so the latter rain is not going to be for a while. Ellen White specifically warned about relying on those charts like that. I think some people who will deny that the Holy Spirit is being poured out is because it's not on their chart. Well, it's not supposed to be yet. I think God is pouring out His Holy Spirit on His schedule. We are needing people now. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Now, that's perfect for Alberta right now. Right? Do you want the Lord to bless you with His Holy Spirit today? I'm asking you, do you want the Lord to pour out His Holy Spirit? Now, for kinesthetics, they want to feel something. Visuals want to see something. Auditories want to know something. Musicals want to experience something. But bring it all together. Let the Lord bless you. Because in the end, we're all a bunch of broken people with defects of character, recognizing our limitations of our humanity and why we're not worthy. But let Him be worthy within you. So grab the hand of somebody as we pray together. Grab somebody's hand. Let us pray. Father in heaven, here we are in simplicity in Your presence. You once breathed the Holy Ghost upon Your disciples. You bid them go and to now share what they had seen with others. So now, Lord, You have bid us go, that others may know You also by us telling them what we have seen, by us testifying to the simplicity of the journey of walking in truth and righteousness with Jesus Christ. So right now, according to Your promise, breathe on us a latter rain of the Holy Ghost. Lord, if it is to surpass the day of Pentecost, show us what that means. Take the simplicity of our broken lives and do something supernatural. Save us, Lord. And then we will be able to share salvation with someone else. A lot of us have been set in our ways. Forgiveness, forgive us for our stubbornness. And now unleash us, Lord, in new ways that we ourselves will be surprised with what You do through our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus for the advancement of His kingdom, for His glory. And all God's people said, look at me one more time. Go tell someone what you have seen. Go in peace.